I want to share a little bit with you before we get into Daniel. I think in order to make sense of the chaos that's in the world, we've got to adopt a spiritual view and position, yes? Because if you just watch the news, you're gonna lose your mind. If you happen to run across my mind from when I used to watch the news, would you locate it and bring it to me? So I think the best way to look at what's happening right now is to look a little bit at biblical history and prophecy. Because Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:9 in the Good News Translation, the version he wrote in, what has happened before will happen again. What has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new in the whole world. Or as the old King James says, there's nothing new under the sun. So let's take just a kind of a quick look at the beast empires of Daniel and Revelation. And I want to couple that with the Apostle John's warning in 1 John 2:18 and 19. Verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. Now, he wrote this 2,000 years ago, so what do you think it is now? It's the last minute, or right? We're in the last days, yes? Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were... that none of them were of us. So he's saying there is a coming Antichrist, but he's also saying there's been many Antichrists. So that statement by Solomon just starts to become important. What has happened before will happen again. So if we want to figure out prophecy, we've got to look at what's been fulfilled so far, yes? I mean, that gives us kind of a model. So we don't know exactly who John was thinking about when he said many Antichrists, but he may have been thinking about Israel's history. He may have been thinking about his present circumstances with the Caesars of Rome. They certainly fulfilled that. Much of the church thought Nero was the Antichrist. Just like a lot of the world, church world thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. They weren't the Antichrist, they were an Antichrist. So there have been many Antichrists. And the 20th century was filled with Antichrists. I mean, goodness. The Caesars of Rome demanded to be worshipped as God. The Caesars had a tribute coin with their image and in the inscription that they're their deity. And it had to be offered in every Roman city in order to engage in commerce. And that's important to know because people are, oh gosh, since I've been a Christian, people have been trying to figure out what the mark of the beast is. You know what? We don't know. I remember when it was barcodes? They're going to tattoo a barcode on your hand and you're going to scan it. Now you just need your palm. So we don't know where this is going to end up, but it's moving. So we do know that John was thinking about those who had succumbed to temptation and walked away from Christ and probably went and took the coin and offered incense to Caesar and declared his deity so that they could shop in the good stores. So the geopolitics of our modern world are returning to its pagan roots. In the emerging Antichrist systems forming new allegiances around the ancient gods, including the deification of politicians, which you can see right there. I'm not picking on a party or anything like that because we've got problems on both sides of the aisles. But sheep and goat nations are taking form right now. We want America to be a sheep nation. We don't want America to be a goat nation. Let me read to you from Daniel 7. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. In the Old Testament, or in the New Testament for that matter, when you see the Great Sea, it's the Mediterranean. Okay? So, everything prophesied has Jerusalem as central to its meaning. Whenever you see someone interpret prophecy as Russia or China or United States or England or whatever, it's a mistake. It's just a mistake. The four great beasts came from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast was second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it between its teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon it the back four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, as strong and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up from among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. So again, the great sea is the Mediterranean Sea. It's going to appear in the passage in Revelation we'll look at as well. But these four beasts are known to us. They were Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. I believe the Roman beast empire exists in one form or another until the return of Jesus Christ, because that's the picture that's portrayed if we were to look at all of Daniel's prophecies. The last iteration of this beast empire is that of the Antichrist, who is depicted as the little horn. The horn symbolizes power or leadership or ruler. Daniel 7:17, skipping down a little bit, these great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. So if we look at these beast empires, we note the connection between the empire and the ruler. All right? So the first beast is both Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. But it wasn't just Nebuchadnezzar, because there were other kings after Babylon. So Babylon continued for a season. Then Cyrus in Persia. Then Alexander in Greece. Then Julius Caesar in Rome. All these empires touched the Mediterranean Sea and took control of Israel. And that's how we need to think about the coming Antichrist kingdom. It's going to touch the Mediterranean Sea, and it's going to take control of Israel, or try. The final expression of the beast empires will come to an end upon the return of Christ, at which time the first resurrection, which is popularly called today the rapture, will occur. The fullness of the kingdom of heaven will find its expression on earth as it is in heaven following the return of Christ. That identifies me as a premillennialist, if you're interested in that kind of terminology. So there's coming a satanic tribulation that will last 42 months. Daniel 7:21 and 22, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So you can see that just is where I get my previous statements from. That some people act like we're calling the Lord a loser or the church a loser because of we believe that there's coming a time when the enemy is going to prevail for a short season. But that's just a sifting mechanism in the earth to sift out the wheat and the chaff, okay? So as mentioned, the horn represents the final Antichrist ruler, and the Ancient of Days is Jesus coming to render judgment in favor of the saints who are suffering under the 42-month reign of the Antichrist. So again, we can see the beasts are both the rulers and the empires themselves. For example, Greece is pictured as a leopard with four heads, and Alexander's conquest was fast like a leopard, and upon Alexander's death, four lesser leaders or his generals really rose and took his place. So the empire continued after the founder. The last beast is said to have 10 kings or 10 horns, the 10 rulers, and those kings, amongst those kings, rises a king who will be the Antichrist. So I know it's a bit confusing if you don't have a lot of background in this, but I'm trying to just give you the headlines today. I think some people today are losing hope because they've lost sight of eternity. If this life is just about the stuff we get here, that's sad, right? This is like our dressing room for eternity. So we're being prepared to rule and reign with him. I think many are being confused by the shiny objects being presented by the media. Here, look at this, and it's just, please don't. You can be aware of what's going on, but just don't be seduced by all the stuff that's going on the media. It's just, I really don't trust it. I trust the Word of God. So remember, we're in a spiritual war, not a partisan political war. That's not clear. It doesn't seem to be that clear today. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. You can turn there if you want to, or you can just listen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Again, it's the Mediterranean. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat was in his seat and great authority. So you can see that this final beast has elements of all the other beasts combined. And I think that's more than symbolic. I think it's meaningful to understanding the makeup of this final empire. Because right now the world is breaking up into new alliances, isn't it? Have you seen that? Have you heard about the BRICS? They're not things that you build walls with. They're things that you topple the dollar with. Please keep that in prayer, by the way. If the United States dollar stops being the reserve currency, we're headed for some real trouble. All right? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. Now, some people have said that the Antichrist is going to have some kind of a mortal wound and then be resurrected. But we don't know if John is referring to the Antichrist or if he's referring to the empire. And I would like us to think about it. This is pure speculation, okay? This is Pat Eschatology 101. It may be completely meaningless. But I'd like you to think about it as the empire, because there was Rome, then there was the Holy Roman Empire. Unless we think that was a good thing, because it was still being manipulated by these beasts, these principalities and powers, because God never told the church to go and kill people to do things. Right? So we could argue about the Crusades or the Inquisitions or the slaughter of the Jews in the 5th century by the Holy Roman Empire. I'd rather not, but it's not okay. So the church is not a part of these world systems. It's the kingdom of heaven on earth. There's an amazing scripture in Revelation 18:4 where this angel comes brighter than the sun in the noonday, and he says, come out of Babylon. I remember when I was a new Christian, I said, what are your people doing in Babylon? And now I've lived for a while, and I go, like most of us, we're caught up in what's going on. We need to be captured by the face of Jesus. So anyways, the Holy Roman Empire, then it switched to an Islamic empire. And that empire was put to an end in 1928 or 29, the Ottoman Empire. What if that's the one that comes back? Because if you look at the makeup of the Ottoman Empire, it also comprises the peoples, the nations that Ezekiel prophesied would attack Israel. And who wants to attack Israel? The house of Islam, right? So that's just me speculating, but I think I'm doing a good job. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Well, wait 42 months and you'll find out, because Jesus is going to come and destroy him with the breath of his mouth. That doesn't sound like a hard job. That means his spirit, okay? And there was a mouth, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he and his, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven. So he's not leaving anybody out, is he? That stinker. That's a theological term for a politician I don't like. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given them over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now here's the qualifier, whose names are not written in the book of life from the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. And that also includes the sheep nations, I believe. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. That last statement is telling us that the last days are going to be the reaping of all things that were sowed. So, you know, if you want a good harvest, sow good seed. And I know a lot of preachers use that to talk about money. It's not money, it's the word of God. Okay? But if you want it to be money, can you go? If you just look at the overlaps of those empires, Jerusalem is central. So Daniel was told about his prophecies that they pertain to his holy city, his holy temple, and his people. So what's missing today? The temple. Okay. It's coming. So this final beast has elements of all the previous beasts: leopard, Greece, bear, Persia, lion, Babylon. Some people try to make this about the United States and Great Britain, and I just don't be pulled into that. That doesn't make sense if we're going to be true to Scripture. But they're given in reverse order as Daniel gave them. So there's going to be this overlap, and that overlap is going to last 42 months. It's going to seem really horrific when that guy shows up on the scene, stands up in the temple, and says, I'm God. Some of you ladies have dated guys like that, right? No. It's not that unusual. I always told my girls growing up, this, the last thing to die on a man is his ego. You could put a mirror under his nose and there's no fogging, there's no breath, there's no life there, but his ego will stay intact for another 30 minutes. I know that because I are one. All right. This is so dumb, but I remember when I was in competitive bodybuilding, I spent a lot of time at the beach trying to get tan. And we all kind of hung out together, all the weightlifters, and you could see a girl who was perfect, and she would walk kind of insecurely and, you know, hurry up and get down on her blanket and just worried about how she looked, or one eye was a little smaller than the other eye, or one earlobe was a little. I mean, girls, you guys get worked up about all that stuff. Then there's some guy with some monster beer gut, looks like a Wookiee. He's walking down by the water, strutting, letting all the ladies get a good look. This is my point. There's coming a politician who's going to be that guy.
100% of police with that.
So the final beast will have limited rule with global influence. His hatred will be directed at the Lord our God, the Jews, and the Christians. That's why I'm thinking the final beast empire is going to be Islamic, because that's who's identified in Scripture. And they like to behead people. So anyways, this final beast empire is completely pagan, blasphemous, requires worship of Satan the dragon, and the tin pot ruler, the Antichrist. That's how we're going to know. Okay, don't take a mark from that guy. Whether it's, no matter what it is. Okay, I'm not going to shop at Neiman Marcus anymore. I'm going to go to the farmer's market. There was always been, during these beast empires, a way to get food. Trust God. Amen? And if you want to buy one of those kits that'll last you for 3 months, good on you. But God's going to find a way. He's going to take care of us. Never seen the righteous begging for bread, right? Okay. So anyways, the Antichrist will require worship of himself and receiving of a mark to conduct commerce in his empire. Again, within 42 months, Jesus will return. Yay! And the Antichrist and his blasphemous, Luciferian, pedophilic, perverted empire will come to an inglorious end. Yay. All right. Now, currently, there are people applying for the job of Antichrist. We saw one of them on the slide earlier. There are people applying for the job of false prophet. We don't know who it's going to be. But there's many Antichrists, yes? The 20th century was full of them, and now it seems like they're starting to come back. So I want to finish with just some thoughts on globalists at home and abroad, okay? I think this final beast empire trying to emerge is what the global turmoil is about right now. Because they're trying to, you know, is it going to be populated by people from the U.S., in our political system and banking system? Is it going to be Western Europe? Is it going to be the Middle East? Is it going to be the Eurasian landmass with the BRICS? Is it going to... See, this is what's happening. These guys are all jockeying for position. But I think it's going to be the Middle East. That's just because of Daniel and Revelation. The biggest hindrance to this kingdom emerging is the awakened church, which is why global persecution of Christians is on the rise, okay? So remember the signs Jesus declared concerning the end. The abomination of desolation will appear in the holy place. So there has to be a temple. That's just my view. I just believe that with all my heart. And the gospel will be preached in every nation. We don't need to figure everything out, but we do need to preach the gospel to every nation. That's our job, okay? So I think those are signs that are yet to be fulfilled, because there are people groups that haven't heard the gospel yet. That should be our focus, okay, as far as our missions go. Politically, nationalist populism is standing in the way, so... Religiously, it's the awakened church that's a problem for the emerging Antichrist, and politically, it's nationalist populists. Is this making sense? Don't think about right, left, conservative, liberal, Democrat, or Republican, because both sides are, I'm sorry to say, just not really doing us a service. If you look at the way Robert Kennedy Jr. is being treated, you can tell it's not about Democrat and Republican. It's about who stands for the truth or not. That's not an endorsement of him. There's some things that I like that he's saying, but the boy needs to get saved. Amen. He needs to get to the truth about abortion and the Second Amendment. Okay. But if we were seen in the spirit, I think we would see this spiritual warfare manifesting on two fronts, politically, the uniparty or the globalists against the nationalist populace, and religiously between the woke and the awakened church. So I'm not talking about religion or politics, but it might sound like it. I'm trying to reveal spiritually and scripturally what I think is happening so that we can pray effectively. Ancient Israel failed as a nation state not because of politics or economics, but because they mingled the religions of the pagan nations with their own. Plain and simple. We have so-called church leaders doing the same thing today. I mentioned the papacy. That's not me picking on Catholics. That's me saying pray that they get a guy in there that's filled with the Holy Spirit and can lead that church the way it ought to be led. They're our brothers and sisters. Again, pray for America that will be a sheep nation, not a goat nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen? Amen. So, have you ever thought about this? Why are so many people losing their minds over abortion? I mean, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, the church was largely silent. But the crazies weren't. Abortion is child sacrifice to the pagan deities, okay? How about child trafficking? Have you ever seen these people go nuts over a movie, Sound of Freedom? They just went nuts. Now they're doing their own ads for child trafficking, but are they coming against it or are they for it? I don't know. But that's a spiritual conflict, yeah? Just a little side note on unfulfilled prophecy. So the Temple Institute, have you guys heard of that? It's in Israel, and they have everything ready for temple service once they figure out where the temple really goes. If they want to know, they can call me. I'll tell them. I love doing stuff like that. There's all kinds of thoughts on where, some of the thoughts on where the temple is are really funny, and some of them kind of make sense, but I think at some point God's going to reveal where Solomon's temple was. And they're going to start to rebuild the temple. And the surrounding nations are going to be so happy they're going to attack. But they're going to be defeated, yes? At some point, two prophets are going to appear in the temple. And they're going to prophesy for how long? 42 months? Yeah. Then there's also coming a false prophet and the Antichrist. Prophetically, everything's going back to Jerusalem, just as the Lord said to Daniel and John. Isn't it amazing? Everything starts there and everything goes back there. The church began there and it's going to leave from there. Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives just the way he left. Yes. Some angels said it and I believe it. All right? We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. I don't know what that's going to be like, but it's going to be way cool. It's going to be way better than they show in the movies with, well, I won't go there. My prayer for the whole church is to escape Babylon. And by Babylon, I mean the globalist religious, political, and commerce systems. We need to be free from that. And be awakened in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, and carry out the Great Commission so this mess we call the world can be transformed by the return of Jesus Christ. Amen.